Agenda item number 16, workshop and possible discussion on strategic plan and financial forecast for fiscal year 2016 by Jim Forte, Planning and Development Manager, Interim Chief Financial Officer.
Get this out of the way, and then whenever we get near the time for lunch, which will be
kind of right here, which will be right now, it's due to be served at noon, so we'll go to then and then break to go and do the close in the at that point in time.
After this one.
Our mission statement that was adopted by this board back in 2007, I think it's still appropriate now. Revenues are, our system brings in about $55.5 million, at least it will in 2016. 16.4 of that is projects that we manage for other people. Essentially, it's a cost pass-through process. Largest one being the Brushy Creek system that we operate for City of Round Rock and others. We recently picked up this Dozier Farm operation, which is one of the Temple Belton entities. Temple or Belton, David? Temple, okay. In terms of the balance of our revenues, here's a comparison from last year to this year. System rate revenue is going up $2.1 million. That's the result of a utility contract that converted about 25,000 acre-feet of water at Lake Limestone. And we'll talk about that in a little bit more detail later. You can see that down here at the bottom, 2016 budget, just a little over $2 million worth of additional revenue, and just coincidentally, these kind of wash in and out to where that $2.1 million becomes pretty significant. Here's where that income is derived from, and I'll talk to you about our system rate. In 2001, our system rate was $26 an acre foot, and that was about a quarter of the water that we had under contract. And it produced about a quarter of our system water supply system revenue. If you go on to 2005, the system rate by then was up to $45 an acre foot, and represented about 35% of our water sales. And here now we see in 2016 at the proposed rate of $70.50, almost half of our water will be at system rate. Again, there'll be a contract. And here's how that breaks down by the various types of contracts. Again, here's about the 25,000 acre feet that went up, and it's a utility contract. Two-tier contracts are the largest legacy contracts that we have. And if you look at fiscal 2017, another 83,000 acre feet of water expires. That's the contract that we have with Luminant for the construction of Lake Granbury, and right now they're paying a very nominal cost for water. However, you have to take into consideration that they paid the entire debt service for the construction of that reservoir from beginning in about 1970 up through the retirement of that debt about 2 years ago. So it's not that they got this water always at $50.60. They paid 100% of the cost of that reservoir, and then we got a portion of that water back that we sold at our rates while they have this 83,000 acre feet that they can use at their facilities up there, primarily Comanche Peak 1 and 2. But that will expire next year. And then you see we about 5 years before we have anything else that's going to convert. Operating expenses, again, the cost reimbursables, and each one of these cost reimbursable contracts, our staff goes out and meets with those customers and goes through a very detailed presentation on what is in those budgets and what do we contemplate that we're going to have to do with those facilities. And they are, again, 100% responsible for for the cost, and the rest of this is what is the responsibility of our water supply system customers. It's kind of breaking it down. Right at 45% of our budget in 2016 will be salaries and wages and benefits. The only other single item that we have is in double digits is debt service, and that's debt service not only on our bonds, but also the contracts, the construction contracts, and the storage contracts that we have with the Corps of Engineers for the conservation storage in the Corps reservoirs. Down here, we also pay the Corps of Engineers for some O&M costs at those reservoirs, and down here is where we pay for the water that we buy from LCRA, 25,000 acre feet that goes into Williamson County. These two expense activities, in addition to some others, are folded into what we call a line item called Federal Reservoir and Water Contracts, and I'll talk about that again in a second. In terms of compensation for this next fiscal year, several years ago we adopted an ECI-based salary adjustment. It's the ECI and it has numerous components and categories. We use the state and local government section for just salaries and wages to recommend the 1.6, and this is based on what that index was in December of this past year. We start preparing our budget in March, and so that is the most current adjustment index that we have. Benefits, Monica already talked about the health care earlier, about 13.7% of increase there, and a net decrease of two full-time positions. Again, we talked about that earlier. We have a declining number of staff. We spread our health insurance costs over that declining staff, and that's what causes us to be in the situation that we are right now. Breaking the budget down into major expenses, you see that next year we'll spend right at $8 million, a little more than $8 million, maintaining and operating our reservoirs. East Williamson County, David Collinsworth talked about that earlier in terms of the water treatment plant there, our West Central Brazos Pipeline. And we will be setting rates for the West Central Brazos Pipeline as we have the last couple of years. But, you know, I think you're all aware that we're currently in negotiations that we might shed that asset potentially even before the fiscal year starts. Again, the federal reservoir and water contracts, that includes the operating payments that we make to the federal government for the conservation storage, as well as the water we pay to LCRA and some other things. And then here's what keeps us running, the internal costs of our operation, about $32.3 million in fiscal 2016. Included in that $32 million is about almost $2 million worth of ongoing projects and studies. The majority of these don't create an asset. They're just a study, but they are long-term studies. So since we, even though we don't capitalize them, we feel it's appropriate to embed them in our operating costs. We perform volumetric surveys on reservoirs on a very regular basis in cooperation with the Texas Water Development Board. This is a fully grant-funded project here, the Lower Basin Floodplain Study. And you can see some others. We're looking at some feasibility studies and that type of thing as well. Capital projects for, let's see, where am I? Yeah. Capital projects for this next fiscal year, again, forecasting about $19.3 million. And we've already talked about a couple of them today and a couple of them recently. The groundwater project that David Collinsworth, that you authorized that contract for, we think of the amount that you authorized, we could cash flow as much as $2.9 million in fiscal 16. Our system operation permit, and we'll brief you on that in executive session, but you can see these other projects. For again, example, the three reservoirs at the dams, spending about $8 million in capital costs, as well as the $8 million to keep them running. One of the things that we will ultimately talk to you about in detail is the Brazos Basin Water Master. This is the first year of the Water Master, and we've got some things that we're going to need to do to accommodate that process and our customers. Bless you. Debt service, Again, talk about the federal reservoirs, the bonds that we have outstanding. Our debt service next year for just our bonds will be a little over $3 million. Federal reservoirs will pay about another $2.7 million, and these are the balances that will be outstanding. Williamson County raw water line costs are paid for by those customers. So here comes how we come up with what we need to make. Our O&M costs are going up about $3 million. That's predominantly made up of the salary costs and the health insurance costs that we talked about earlier. That's about $1 million of it. In 2016, we will be migrating our what we call our reservoir. What's the RSMU stand for? Reservoir System Maintenance Unit. That's a group of guys up at Possum Kingdom that we formed that group back several years ago to replace all the gates at Possum Kingdom, all nine of them, and we financed that through our capital program. All that work has been completed. Now these guys are doing maintenance. It's not appropriate to continue to charge their costs against our capital side. We're not creating another asset. We're just maintaining that asset. So we have moved them over fully into the water supply system. Fiscal 2016 is almost $1 million. But we've completed that. We've embedded it into our rates. And about $1.9 million additional revenue, some of that offset by the fact that we converted that one contract. And, again, we'll convert that another contract next year, and that will help mitigate some of that cost.
So those are contracts, not employees.
No, they're employees. They're full-time employees.
Oh, they are. Okay.
How many folks you got?
About 60.
Okay.
Okay.
So when you look at when you net all this down, we need to make $23.4 million from our system rate customers, which again is about a $2 million increase from this past fiscal year. And doing the real simplified math, if you need $23.4 million and you got about 330,000 acre feet of water that's subject to system contracts, that's about $70.50 an acre foot, a little over 1% increase. And that's pretty much online with what we forecast last year and when we did our five-year forecasting. Let's look at what that does to our bottom line. Fiscal 2015, the one we're in right now, we started with a little over $46 million, about a $5.5 million surplus this year. Capital expenditures that we'll be making, again, the Costello Island revenue, so ending 2015 with a slight increase in fund balance. You take that number, the budget assumes about an $800,000 surplus from operations, and that essentially represents the coverage factor that we apply on our debt service on bonds that are subject to coverage. For every $1 million of debt service that we pay, we generate $1.3 million in total revenue, and that excess $300,000 then goes over to our reserves. And that's to make sure that the municipal bond community and the bond rating agencies see that we're being prudent in setting our rates and that we actually recover excess revenue. The projects that we just talked about and fund balance, $28.8 million. This is before the Costello, the PK divestiture that was alluded to earlier, as well as we traditionally underspend our capital projects. Although, again, there's a couple of these in here that that probably will spend pretty aggressively this year, so hopefully we'll see more activity in our capital side.
Jim?
Yes, sir.
Did on the Grand Flood Control, was that our total commitment to that, or is that included?
I'll defer to Mike McClendon.
Yes, sir. That's actually been a placeholder for the last 2 years.
Is it Corgan? They're not going to reimburse us, are they?
No, sir. We have, there's a percentage. We pay 35%, and then they pay the rate.
Yeah, but that's our 35%, yes. 1.6 million. Sometimes.
Hopefully this, we have a meeting coming up probably the next month.
Well, I've been here 5 years. So I've never seen it happen yet.
Some of us have been here longer than that.
Yeah.
Waiting the same time. Here's our buckets again. The $28 million will be divided into our working capital, which is calculated as 90 days of operations. That's the number that, again, the financial management community thinks is prudent. We have about $500,000 to cover deductibles on our self-insurance for vehicles and other losses, a contingency fund of $5 million, and then everything else kind of works its way down into our rate stabilization fund. And when we do our long-range discussion here in a few minutes, we'll see how we dispatch that rate stabilization fund to the benefit of our customers. Bringing it all down to the bottom line, cost reimbursable again breaks even. There's a modest benefit to the water supply system in terms of some overhead that we charge over to those contracts as well as some management fees that we gather. But essentially, they break even. So it's really our water supply system that you focus on. Through 2016 again. $28.8 million compared to our mandatory. The board adopted these reserve policies back in 2005, I've been here too long. But anyway, well within what the financial community is looking for. Talk a little bit about the Water Master. That's kind of up in the air. We know that the Water Master's budget is going to be $800,000. They are going to put a 15% discount on their billings, or a premium on their billings, and they're actually going to bill out $943,000 for the Water Master. They say based on their experience in other basins, of course, hadn't been another Water Master developed in over a decade. But our share of that $942,000 is $410,000. We're going to fund it out of our reserves for this year because we're not really certain. We know it's going to pass on to the system rate customers. That's without question. We have a number of other legacy contracts that have clauses in them. There's one, for example, that says if there's a Water Master in the basin, we'll be charged accordingly. There's others that say that if there's a regulatory or legislatively imposed cost on the BRA, then that contract, in addition to its formula, can allow that expense. So we're looking at our contracts this year, going to be talking to those customers that are affected by it. So what we thought was appropriate is that we would pay the 2016 estimated cost out of our reserves, and then in 2017, any year in the future, we will bill our customers in arrears for the cost that we incurred the prior year. We won't bill them two. But we had one question when we did these customer meetings basin-wide. Does that mean you're going to bill us for 2016, 2017, and 2017? No. We're going to bill you for 2016 in 2017, and then we'll just always be in the rears. So that's our budget. You all received one of these, and certainly it's got much more detail in it than we covered here. The staff and I can answer any questions that you might have about what's going on in the operating budget.
There's no questions. We'll go to agenda item number 17.
I'm still on. I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, you're still on.
I was just catching a breath. Five-year forecast. Again, we assume that our non-system rate contracts will continue on. We'll look at that in our long-range forecast here in a few minutes. Grants, which are predominantly based on majority of those costs are salaries and wages, so we use the same type of an indicator and indices to increase those as we do others. And then, again, we talked about interest income earlier, and quite frankly, I don't see interest rates going up any dramatically over the next 5 years. They may come up a little bit. Oh, and M expenses... We forecast those based on a variety of indices. We just don't take the CPI or the producer price index, the big number, and apply that to our budget. We apply ECI to the salary and wage accounts. We apply a petroleum-based indices to those chemicals that are subject to petroleum. We apply a different indicator to the electricity that we buy. So we don't just throw a CPI number at our budget and calculate it. We use about six or eight different indicators based on the type of activity in our forecasting. Capital plan, again, is waiting on the state water plan to be adopted. And in debt service, we don't assume any more refundings. We've refunded about every dollar of debt that we can that makes sense. However, the five-year forecast does anticipate that there's a possibility that in 2018, 19, and 20, we may need to issue some debt because we've been buying down our reserves so dramatically by dispatching our rate stabilization fund to keep our rates down for our customers. And then here's the 5 years. Again, there's the target for our 90 days worth of working capital. And again, it's still well within margin. And then here's what we think our rates will look like over the next 5 years. Nominal increases, and they go up and down based on project schedules and that type of thing. But in reality, probably an average of about 2% a year. Pretty realistic for our customers to anticipate. Put on a different hat. Again, our mission statement, our guiding principles that were adopted by the board in 2017, still go by those. Here's our model that we installed about 10 years ago that still we think is pretty accurate. We take the operating budget, we put the things like the state water plan into it. We look at what that does to the system rate, and then if it makes the system rate go up too dramatically, then we look at using reserves and our fund balance to stabilize that to the advantage of our customers. Here we are today. The initially prepared plans for the state region, for the regions, and we're predominantly in Region G and Region H, came out in May, but they won't be adopted until November. There's some projects in the 2016 budget, as we talked about those projects earlier, that will end up being in the original plans. And then the state plan gets adopted by the Water Development Board a year after the regional plans. And again, that's subject to hearings and those types of things. Here's what we were talking about earlier. The green line is system rate. The blue line is non-system rate. We finally cross over in 2016. Here's that 83,000 acre foot contract that will expire this year and go into the system rate next year. Blue bars up here are two-tier contracts, and we'll show you what that rate is here, I believe. But they were negotiated in the 1992 rate case for 50 years, so they don't expire until 2041 and 2042. Here's the utility contracts that we were talking about. Again, there's that 25,000 acre feet here, that another 83,000 acre foot there, another one expiring out here as well, about 2026 or so. Capital projects, 2021 through 2031 is going to be a big decade for the Brazos River Authority. Big projects coming on. That's when we contemplate, for example, the construction costs of the Allen's Creek Reservoir to occur. And there's what it looks like graphically. This is Allen's Creek. The red bars are where we contemplate issuing some debt. The blue bars are where we will continue to use our rate stabilization fund as the best as we can. But you can see that ultimately, when you put that much cost into our rate making, it's going to cause this rate to go up. I will say that these forecasts right now do not contemplate the sale of any water under our system operation permit. Until we have that in hand, until we understand what it's going to do, we don't think it's appropriate to be speculative on what our rates are. But once we have that in hand, then you will see this change, I think, pretty dramatically. And that will alter a number of other things in our analysis. So when we make this presentation to you a year from now, these will look dramatically different, I think, than what you're seeing right now. Then there is a little bit higher resolution, but again, you can see right around here, 2022, 2023, when we start issuing the debt to support the Allen's Creek project, rates will go up. But again, I think system operation permit actually will take that hump out of it and flatten that line just a little bit. And that's my entire presentation. If anybody has any questions, I'll be willing to try to answer them. That's the end of this agenda item.
All right, sir.